Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Wrap Podcast, the place to catch up on all the regional and national rugby in Wales. You can find us on all the usual social media platforms and message us through there if you want, or you can email us on welshregionalrugbypod@gmail.com. With all the boring stuff out of the way, let's talk rugby.
Welcome to the second part of Harley and Hugh's conversation with Francisco Isaac, discussing all things Tier 2, and in this section, all things Portugal. This one's an emotional one. Sit back and enjoy.
So I think, without much further ado, we've tortured Francisco long enough.
You're not tortured.
For those listening, I think he's been getting a bit antsy. So I think it's time to talk about, possibly everyone's second team at this World Cup, apart from maybe Fiji's, and that is Portugal. So I think I'm just going to sit back and let Francisco wax lyrical, and let's see what we want to hear.
What? So give me a question and I'll answer it.
What tactic do you, so I asked you a question after the Wales, sorry, after the Australia-Portugal game. Yeah. I said, Portugal are very nice to watch, but do they need to change to win rugby matches? And you said no. Do you think you've been proved right?
It's difficult to say if my voice is hearing, right? Can you hear my voice, right? Good. Sorry. So I think they don't need to change. They need to be more patient with the ball. They work well the phases outside of the 22, the adversary's 22. When they get in it or very close to it and they have an advantage over the line, they are already seeing the try, but they're not seeing how to get to it. And they get like really exhilarated and everything with aided in the end. And that doesn't help. Tomás Appleton, who I want to make, you're going to send him this pod to him. You're going to Instagram and send it to him to listen this part. Tomás, which is a massive, a good friend of mine that played with me and against me for a long time and so on and talked for like years, said something that was very important to understand, that Portugal was doing everything well. We are not being patient enough. We have to be more calm, more moderate when we get to those parts of the pitch. And that took the chance of us to get an upset against Wales, against Australia, and maybe even Georgia, because there were three tries that were certain tries, but someone didn't pass the ball because they were already seeing the line. And I think you could sum the worst parts of the Portugal's crazy type of attack or rugby champagne 2.0 is Nicholas Martin's missed try against Australia. It was a 5-1. It was a certain try. I was already up like this. I was always like this. And I was saying, yes, my Menino. Menino is my boy. Yes, yes. And then when I saw Callaway coming, I said, no, step in, step in. Well, he dived and that's a problem. I think sometimes oxygen doesn't get so quickly inside their heads and they miss it. But when you get to Fiji, it changed. They got like really patient, right? Really patient. And it worked fine with them. Well, they were patient in the second half. In the first half, they weren't because you had flankers doing cross kicks, which was completely ludicrous. You had props doing back passes, like and hookers. Tadger was. I've just interviewed him for
amazing.
Mate. I just interviewed him for AB World Magazine, and he's a good friend of mine too. And I'm going to not try saying this, and I asked him, okay, what just popped to your mind to kick the ball? And he says, well, I was alone. No one was next to me. And I know how to kick. And I kicked. And I said, okay, that's fine.
He really looks like he knew what he was doing, didn't he? Like the way he picked his spot. But that's not the question. The question is not why did he kick? The question is why was he the one who was chasing the ball?
I have the answer. I have the answer. I think if I give you the answer, I won't spoil the... Well, I don't know.
Maybe if you tell us offline, but then listeners will go and read your
book.
But then my chief editor is going to be angry with me, but I can say to you that, and this I can tell you because I talked with some players, what they thought about it. So let me share you with some players. I asked Rafael Simões, the number 8, what he thought, and he said, well, we were attacking well. We lost the ball. We saw, I think it was Rabozio or Obotia who kicked the ball. I don't remember. And we were like shocked because we thought no one was in the back. And when I turned my head, was Mike there. And then I talked with Bentkur and Pedro Bentkur chair, and I like start sprinting like my lungs came out of my mouth because I wanted to go help Mike to get the ball and kick. But then I saw him just doing that pose, that kicker's pose. And I said, why Mike? Why Mike? And then he kicked beautifully and said, okay, Mike, you're right. And there's an explanation for it. Mike is a football, like, massive fan. Olympic Marseille. So, and he, in Portugal's training, he kicks a lot in the off part of the training. So he likes to drop the ball, kick. He's very good playing football. I can say to you, he plays massively well. Like Lionel Messi in disguise. And I think it's something, and this is an advertisement for coaches out there. If a kid wants to kick a ball in training or in the off part of training, let him, even if he's a prop, because it's an ability they can tune in and get better. And you never know if at a certain point they must rely on it, like Tadger did. Tadger in the top 14 is known for kicking the ball and doing great kicks. You go to YouTube and Mike Tadger grubber kick, Mike Tadger cross kick. You can find the most delicious moments in French rugby. And I think that sums up the French rugby culture because even a hooker can kick the ball like he's Dan Carter. So read the
man. So frantically Googling.
So read the interview for Rugby World Magazine because it's going to be a very fun one and emotional too.
I mean, there was one thing I was talking to Hugh through the game and I actually commented, I think that was the best in kick out of hand that Portugal did that kick to clearance. Because I mean, the one thing I would say with Portugal is I don't want them to change the way they play, but I do think they need to sharpen up their kicking game, because I think it can. For those on, I think I don't want them to stop attacking, but I feel like, you know, the way France use kicking as an extra way of attacking in the sword and just sometimes you just need to get out of your 22, and I think that's something they sometimes struggled with, but I'm not sure who it was. I don't know if it was just because of Masick. It might have been Appleton. It might, or one of the other players. They commented saying something along the lines of, you know, I think it might have been after the Australia game. They said we need to sharpen up on our mistakes because we can get away with it in the rugby Europe Championship, but we can't necessarily against these bigger teams. So actually, I think it was nice to see them just sort of saying, we weren't necessarily as good as we could have been, but we know how we're going to get better now. And, you know, I think it's going to be, everyone very much looking forward to seeing them play next.
I can't wait for the Rugby Europe next year. I can't wait.
It's going to be proper fun. But answer quickly. I think the kicking was good, mainly. Overall, because it was, I think, was the only team that did 3 50-22s in the World Cup. So it shows. Geraldine Portela is not a great kicker. He's a good kicker. Normally, a fly half needs to kick well. But for the Portugal attacking system, Portela is better because he knows how to pass the ball. He knows how to move. He's slick. He's quick. He's reliable on tackling and so on. And I think, I'm not disagreeing with you, Harley, but see against Fiji that massive kick from, I think, it was Portela or Cardoso Pinto. They kicked the high ball that Portela catched in the air against Makala, and fell to the ground, and Ben Gurdon kicked for the starting strike. Portugal knows how to kick well. I think the problem is sometimes they want to rush things. And at this level, you can't rush things. You have to be patient, calm, breathe a little. No, like they did in the last 30 seconds against Fiji. Receive the ball, keep it in, phase, kick it out. That's it. And sometimes it didn't happen that way because you had Portela, Nuno Sousa Guedes, Storti, Marta, ball, or Nicolas Martins, because they want to play around like they are the All Blacks. And I think that's a thing that's good. Sometimes they must be calmer.
Yeah. So I've got two more questions. First is, were you as shocked as I was to see the Portuguese defence sending Fiji's biggest runners backwards multiple metres?
Now, after the World Cup, I can reveal that I had made a prediction. I thought Portugal was going to win against Georgia and against Fiji with two wins. I got almost right. And I thought in the last game against Fiji, we were going to shock everyone by attacking well, but defending like hard. And then that was the thing that mainly stopped Fiji from getting a win against us, because they couldn't adapt to our defense. They fought by just running for like 60 minutes against the tackler. At a certain point, it would break the tackler. So Portugal would get tired and start doing missed tackles. But when you empower a team in defense, you're going to lose that match. And when I saw, I don't remember who's the Fijian player that went against Martins and Lima and was picked off and carried for like for almost 8 meters, I said, okay, it's done. We're going to win this. Portugal is going to win this, like if Fiji likes it or not. And everyone who understand besides me were looking to me and saying, one person actually believed, it was David Andrade from Público, that said, we're going to win this because defense is being completely ridiculous. Francisco Fernandes got injured in the shoulder by doing a try-saving tackle inside the goal area. He got his shoulder popping, and that's how a team is built. It's on belief. It's a system that works. It's not just It's just not heart, it's mind. They know how to tackle, low, strong. You have to go up and drive. And that's it. And Portugal is perfect. And I think that's what the thing that Fiji and Simon Halvui was impressed, because Portugal really, really put up a defensive structure and system that blowed everyone away.
Yeah, I think.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Harley.
So the thing that impressed me most about Fiji was actually, and not just Fiji, but you know, against all the teams, like their defensive system was just so great. And I think Fiji tried to fell into the same trap Wales did, where I think, because I remember we did a live stream and I said Wales just look like they're just trying to knock a Fiji out by just running. Just keep running and running and fast, but their fitness was just not dropping. They seemed to relish every tackle, and they almost sort of took the Georgian blueprint of what Fiji did with a bit of how Wales defended Fiji, and somehow managed to come up with the better system than both. And you know, they seemed to be able to accept, you know, they were able to knock Fijians backwards while still keeping people on their feet and getting over the ball. And I don't know how, unless they snuck another 15 players on, I don't know how they managed to just keep that space so filled. I was like, as someone who I'm a bit more of a defensive now, so like I love you know, I will quite happily watch a 13-12 game as I will a 38-42 if you know, if it's more about the defenses being great than the attack
real
not,
rugby
not necessarily working, you know. I you know, the physical challenge is the bit I love. So, but I mean, yeah, I was just so impressed with Portugal with that.
Okay, yeah. My last fun question for Francisco. I want you, Francisco, to tell me if you could have one Welsh player play for Portugal, who would it be? And then afterwards, I will tell you which Portugal player I would have for Wales.
Shite. Rob. Oh, Jesus. It seems like I'm being arrogant with you guys and everyone there in the world. I'm going to pick someone. Nothing against Stevie Cerqueira, nothing against him. If Stevie hears this, I love him. He's a great line-out player and a massive tackler. But I would pick Will Rollins for Portugal.
That's a great choice.
Yeah, with Madeira. A pairing with Madeira, José Madeira, in Portugal. It will be incredible.
That's a great. They see there's a rugby man. He's not gone for Luis Rizama. He's not gone for Dan Bigger. He's gone for a second row. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, and
I'll tell you who I think. Sorry, go ahead, Harry.
I was going to say that is, you know, I mean, again, this might be the Welsh bias, but I do think Will Rowlands is one of those players who'd improve pretty much any team he was in. I think me and Hugh had the discussion saying that England must be kicking themselves that they let him go to Wales, because he's just unbelievable as a workhorse lock, and actually can do some of the fancy stuff as well if he needs to. But yeah, go on. I'm excited to see this.
He's the one who got Alan Wynne-Jones out of the Wales team. And say no more.
I think, if I can, I think Alan Wynne-Jones must be proud that Rollins took his place with such consistency and power.
Okay, the Portugal player that I would take for Wales, I could choose Storti. I think a lot of Welsh fans would be very happy to have him.
But come on.
I'll tell you something. In Wales, we say that we have number sevens for days. There are no bad number sevens in Wales. I move Jack Morgan to number six to have Nicholas Martins at number seven for us.
You can't
Harley
have it.
Doesn't like it.
Well,
the thing I liked about Martins is he's actually listed as a second row on the fantasy, so that meant I
know,
actually
biggest
had
gift of points ever.
Yeah, it was, you know, that helped. But I think he's, do you know what, I'm there thinking like, yeah, like, you know, with what we want Christians to be, actually, I probably would have taken him, maybe have him a sit. But I mean, I feel like, you know, go on all Eddie Jones, numberless backlines. For me personally, I was there thinking, like, I know Taj has announced his retirement, but I was there thinking, oh, can someone at the Arms Park find some loose change and get Tajer in? Because if anything,
loose
change
at the Arms Park.
Yeah. Or only there might be something under the carpet at that we call a pitch. But I think just seeing someone, I've never seen a hooker who is so physical, so brilliant. I mean, all the skill set, and I've not seen that man not smile. And like, yeah. I think he has possibly the best photo on World Rugby for all the players on all the squads, because just seeing that beaming smile, I'm just grinning thinking about it. But yeah, for me, I think it'd be Tajer. I mean, as much as I love the hookers we have, I think there's just something about him I just love. And I love the idea of having an exit strategy where the hooker looks like he's going into the back of a caterpillar ruck and then just hoofs it.
Well, you want to make me cry, right? if I cry now, it's your own fault. But look, I think I can call myself a good friend of Mike Tajer. I'm a journalist first, but you can have friends as players and be critical about it. I've criticized Mike sometimes in line-out throws because at some games he missed, and he knows it. Better than anyone else, he knows it. And he has talked openly about it. But Mike is inspirational guy. This is going to be a monologue of 2 minutes, if you let me. Can I? Hugh, no problem, I hope.
Go for it, mate.
Look, I'm going to explain to you, and this is not in the full interview, you can understand better, but why Mike smiles for Portugal, because he loves Portugal. He loves the game. This game gave him everything, like proper everything. He loved every second of it. This was his fairy tale ride to finish in a World Cup. And he retired 4 days, 3 days ago on Sunday. And today he gave me an interview. We talked like for an hour. And it shows how, and I said to him, so Monsieur, I call him Le Monsieur, Monsieur. It's my nickname to Mike. How's retirement going? And he says, well, great, because now I can eat everything I want. I can do everything I want, and I am happy because it ended the way I wanted to. And when I asked him how it felt when you got outside of the pitch and everybody was like applauding, standing, he said, well, for me, I won't forget it, never, because it was the pinnacle of my career. And it was a moment that I felt like part of Portugal, a country that I picked to play. He could have played for France at some certain point, but he chose Portugal. And look, this World Cup, it was just MVP all over him. Like, every match, he excelled at it. That line-out against Wales, it was in his head. It was nicely done by Rafael Simões, but everything was strict. And I think Portugal are going to miss Mike, not because of the player, also because of the player, but because of the man, the human being that was him. There will be new future players, but Mike Tajer is Mike, and I think everyone in Portugal will always remember him. Just to finish this monologue, when I was there in the airport yesterday, and I was there by accident, and Harley knows it, I was inside the plane to go to Madeira at 7 p.m., and EasyJet canceled the flight inside the plane. So I said, okay, damn it, I'm going to wait for the players. And I heard, and when all of them came out, you could listen the little kids and little girls saying, where's Mike? Where's Mike? Where's Chico Fernandez? Where they are? They were in France already. They didn't come to Portugal. And you see how big of impact a guy that never lived in Portugal.
Sorry.
for it's Portuguese sports. Okay.
I think, just that speech. Actually, I don't know if anyone has seen the video, because it's one of the few bits of content World Rugby are allowing us to watch, because I'm guessing there are no rugby balls in the site. But
yeah,
the Portuguese players coming back, and it's just so heartwarming. I think this is, you know, I think everyone all agrees, you know, this is what the World Cup is. And, you know, all the talk about blowouts and our team's competitive and should we go down to 16 and further close shop, you know, these are the stories that make you love rugby. And it's not always the, you know, as ruthless efficiency that Ireland, the All Blacks have shown, or the debates of, you know, which of England's three half decent tens plays fullback and
win. I tell you now, if the All Blacks or the Springboks win this World Cup, it will be less memorable than what Portugal did in Pool C.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I thought the exact same, you know, for me, my resounding memory of 2019 is Uruguay beating Fiji. And, you know, how Japan well they...
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, things like Japan beating Ireland and Scotland, despite Scotland trying to sue the weather to get the result they wanted. It turns out if they'd actually let the game get called off, it'd been better for them. But it's just nice seeing the human aspect of it all. And
it is.
You know, I think Portugal have just become so endearing. I mean, I think pretty much every podcast that's spoken about last weekend has mentioned it, that Portugal are a bunch of mates who've gone to a World Cup. And you could tell the way they played, the fact that even when things went wrong, they were still happy and, you know, they were all with each other. And I'm sorry to set you off again, Francisco.
No.
It's inspiring. I genuinely think it gets thrown about, but this Portugal team do restore your faith in you know, rugby, as what it can do off the field.
If I have to cry, I have no issues. It's going to be in a rap podcast or in the rock and roll, whatever, because it's the podcast I love in the UK, and it's the perfect place to cry. So, look, you're saying mates, yeah. Look, Sordi came to France to Stade Français 2 years ago, and now he was, last season, he was loaned to Béziers in the Pro D2, where he plays with Francis Fernandes. And Francis Fernandes adopted him. And sorry, this shows that Portugal, there has no boundaries. And when there was the 2016 World Cup, the football one, the men's football cup, sorry, Stella, I was pissed with some adverts in Portugal saying we are 10 million. Supporting a national team. No, fuck, you're not 10. Sorry for the cursing, man. You are not 10 million. You're 20 million. You have Portuguese in France, South Africa, Australia, Brazil, New Zealand, Japan. These people love more Portugal than the guys that were born here. I was lucky enough to be born in Portugal. It was luck of the destiny. Mike was born in France. He chose to, his father was Portuguese. So Mike is called Mike Tadger Barbosa. And he chose to love Portugal. He chose. It was a decision. And the guy that makes a decision and sings the national anthem and when gets outside of his last game and does everything he can to not try and not crack down, shows that nationality doesn't know any boundaries. I don't get why people say you are only English or Welsh or Portuguese or Irish if you are born in there. No, wait, no, you aren't. Look, you had so many players playing for Wales that were not born in Wales and they were complete great servants of the game. And you will never, never, never forget about it. And I think it's so poor when we treat players like this. You understand? And For me, Portugal is a team, is a group of friends, but more of it is a professional team with guys that connect. And that is the lesson we must take. Not close boundaries, not do walls, because it's going to be stupid. You know, do more questions, because I can talk about the airport thing and how massive it can be for everyone. And let's talk about of the game. So, sorry.
I'm trying not to butt in, because, you know, just hearing you full flow and just the passion is, you know, it's what, you know, I love. And I think you've probably dipped on another issue about, like, particularly with the people, particularly in certain parts of the media who have a go at players because they weren't necessarily born somewhere or another. It's just so, you know, it's true. Like, just because you were born in one place doesn't mean, you know, like, the Welsh get a cop a lot of it because, you know, a lot of their players were born in England because, guess what? Wales is a poor country, so people's parents had to move to get jobs. I mean, that's the reason why I'm here. Hugh's here for university and you know, came to Coventry University, and that's life. You've got to move on. You know, my daughter was born here in Devon. She's still Welsh. She's still going to be captain Wales women to a World Cup victory in 20 years time.
I'm looking forward to it, mate.
Yeah, Flurworthy, just remember the name. Not that I'm pressuring my child in any way, shape or form.
No.
You know, she's definitely not already been to more, you know, seen more rugby games and been to more live games than she is old. Admittedly, slept
anyway, mate, though. I think we've done it to death. I think we've is the most comprehensive tier two coverage of any podcast we'll ever do.
Yeah. And I'm not sure how long Francisco and Andy. So I think it's time to just say thank you for Hugh for stepping in at quite short notice to come and talk. And a huge thank you once again, Francisco. You're always welcome. Welcome around. And hopefully one day we'll, you know, hopefully we can do some more of these when we get to rugby championship. But I know Lee's keen to have you on for when the Black Lions get here. So yeah, so thank you both.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you for everyone who's listening / watching.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Wrap Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed recording it. Please do rate us and tell your friends, as it really helps us to grow and get better. We'll be back next week with more of the same, and until then, enjoy your rugby.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.